Well, good morning, church. Thank you so much for joining us today. And I want to make it a point to welcome any visitors that we have tuning in online for the first time. Thank you for digitally joining our family. We hope that you're welcome with us here today. Isn't it so amazing that we get to worship together, even though we're in our own homes? This has been an incredible blessing for us in the midst of this season. So God's moving, and his nature is still being made manifest in us, through us, around us. And one of the ways that we get to manifest his nature is through giving and through generosity. Now, thank you guys so much for helping sustain the move of God at Elevation through giving. And thank you for looking like him. I just wanted to put this out there. There's a reality in giving in the midst of a season of unrest that actually helps you keep your heart posture. Like, there's something about not trusting in jobs and wealth and 401ks and IRAs, but making it a conscious effort to still trust in Jesus in all seasons, but especially in a season like this, that I believe has multiplied impact, not just for you, but for our body here at Elevation. So I want to thank you for taking the opportunity to sustain the move of God with your giving. So I know that we have to make some transition in the way that we give, and I know it's been harder for some people than others, but our giving portal online is actually pretty easy to navigate. So if you were to just go to www.elevationchurchwi.com/giving, there are options there for you to sow into what God is doing here. And if you're in a place where you'd still like to mail in a check, we're not sending ushers door to door, so don't expect somebody with a suit on to come knocking anytime soon. But if you wanted to mail in a check, checks could be mailed to Elevation Church, 2605 South Oneida, Suite 123, and that's 54304. We are so excited for what God is doing. And this morning, we're going to get to hear an awesome word from Pastor Ryan. I've been hearing little bits and pieces of it all week as we've still gotten to work together in the midst of social distancing. Like, churches are essential employees, believe it or not. So some cool stuff going on there. But Ryan has just been cooking this word, and it's been amazing to hear the little bits of it. I can't wait to hear the whole thing with you in just a minute. And then after that, we're going to gather and take communion together remotely. So there was a family this week that talked about using chicken and biscuits and orange juice for communion, whatever you have on hand. Remember, in the early church, communion was a meal. This is more about us connecting than us making sure that we have all the right elements. So again, thank you so much for joining us this morning. And it is my great honor and privilege to introduce our speaker today, Pastor Ryan Kibbe.
All right. Thank you, Aaron.
Social distance high five.
High five, buddy. All right. Father, we just thank you. We thank you that the people who are tuning in this morning are going to get a life-giving word, a word, as you would call it, in due season. Father, your word never returns void. So we're all in agreement online, those hearing this message, that they will never be the same, in Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes, with God, in fact, I'm finding it to be true nearly all the time, a setback is actually a set up for a divine reset for us to change the course of human history. I've been studying the life of Jehoshaphat, and so I'm going to ask you to turn your techie devices to your online streaming devices, whatever you have, or your Bible, your good old-fashioned leather-bound Bible, and turn to 2 Chronicles 20. But I want to use the example, as you're doing that, of a computer. Computers, at times, as you know, they get viruses. I'm kind of like you. I'm tired of hearing about the word virus. It's for the next hour or so, it will not dominate the headlines of Elevation Church. Jesus will, and what he's doing in the earth. That's our focus. That's how we're refining our focus. Well, this computer that I hold here, this computer, you know, it has incredible functions, as many of you have them. And so, you know, you turn it on and I think I turned it on here. Yeah, it's got a nice little picture here. Kind of show it maybe into the camera. I think it's turned on. Sometimes it needs a divine reset. Sometimes it just needs to be rebooted. Well, I'm going to use this as an illusion because it was on and it turned off. Sometimes it just needs a reboot or a reset because viruses can sometimes get in there. And when it does, there's upgrades to the software that makes everything function better. Can I tell you a prophetic word for somebody who needs to hear this? What is your setback right now is actually a setup, and God is doing a divine reset for all of us as we recalibrate into our next amazing breakthrough. I feel like 2 Chronicles 20 is a prophetic word for the hour that we are standing in. So 2 Chronicles 20, verse 1, it's the story of Jehoshaphat the reformer. And Jehoshaphat was in a time where the people of God had somewhat lost their way. They were in a bad place spiritually. And he had a heart for God. He was a revivalist. He was a reformer. He starts to make the necessary changes in the kingdom, and he begins to institute things where they start putting God first. They start doing the things that he knew to do. They started meditating on the word of God. They started going after it. And in this place, he had made some mistakes as a leader. All leaders do. I think that's something that we need to think about as we pray for the leadership of our country. We pray for our spiritual leaders. We pray for people that we understand that they're having to make tremendous amounts of decisions. Jehoshaphat didn't make every right decision. The Bible says that he made treaties with the king of Israel, and it was a no-no. God wasn't looking for him to do that. And so he had created a costly decision that affected his country. But yet, at the same time, God spoke to King Jehoshaphat of Judah, and he loved his heart to do the next right thing. Some of you come to this morning maybe a little heavy. Maybe you've made some bad decisions. But how many of you know that God is bigger than our mistakes? He's not only the God of second chances. How about third? How about four? How about five? How about 50? He's always into divine resets. Isn't God amazing? So that's the narrative of Jehoshaphat. That's the background story that he's landing in. And so we pick it up in 2 Chronicles 20, chapter 20, verse 1. And it says, "It came about after this that the sons of Moab and the sons of Ammon, together with some of the Munites, came to make war against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and reported to Jehoshaphat, saying, 'A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, out of Aram, and behold, they are in Hazazon Tamar, that is in Gedi.'" I want to pause there. We're going to go through 24, 25 verses, and I'm going to preach to you in order of these verses. But I want to pause right there and say this about Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. In Gedi is in Israel. In Gedi is in a place where the Bible calls the promised land for the children of Israel. So it was the place of promise. It was where promises were delivered. God was faithful. It was their promised land. But here's something that happened along the way. The people of God, which had that as inheritance, now have to forfeit their inheritance because of bad decisions. And so it has been occupied now by the ites. Well, the ites in the Bible are anything that is opposed to the mind of God and the heart of God that are strongholds that want to infect our thinking. Just like them, it affected their promises. And so they have forfeited what is their inheritance. An absolute travesty. And so the Bible calls it Hazazon Tamar. But the real name, the real identity of that is in Gedi and their promises. So here's what I want you to understand. Sometimes the place of your greatest battle is also the place of your greatest blessing. Write that down. Your greatest battle is often the place of your greatest blessing. Your inheritance was paid for at the cross by Jesus. See, Jesus' greatest battle was at the cross, but it was also the source of our greatest breakthrough. There's a spiritual axiom all throughout the Bible that we see. David and Goliath, the place of David's greatest and most ferocious battle to date was this big giant mocking the armies of God. Kind of like a virus that is mocking a nation under God. Think about the place of your greatest struggle, the place of your greatest battle could be the place of your greatest blessing. What are your ites? Has your 401k been robbed in the blink of an eye? It's the place where you were blessed, but there's a fight over your inheritance. What about your economic shutdowns or jobs? I know many of you right now are wondering, what's the economy going to do? Oh no, the 401k, I don't know what, I put my faith in that. I actually didn't think I put my faith in it, but as I watched it plummet, I don't know what to do. I believe, friends, in this message, God is going to encourage you to realize that you don't put your strength and your faith in your 401k. You put your trust in Jesus. And I want you to know it's okay to feel fear, because so did Jehoshaphat. It's not okay to sit down and partner with fear. And we're going to see something in this portion of Scripture that I absolutely believe. And if you're online, I want you to high five. I want you to clap, shout amen, do whatever you need to do. But folks, we are hope dealers. We deal in hope. And let me put it to you this way. Hope is contagious. It's like a virus. And our country is going to go through a divine reset. We're going to stand on our promises. God says that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. That's in Ephesians. That includes your health. That includes your finances. That includes your relationships. That includes your emotional well-being. All of that is your En-Gedi. Stand on the promises of God. Think about what your greatest challenge is. What are the ites and what are the threats? Moving on to verse 3. Jehoshaphat, it says, was afraid, and he turned his attention to seek the Lord. He proclaimed a fast all throughout Judah. So Judah gathered together to seek help from the Lord. They came from all the cities of Judah to seek the Lord. I want you to see this really clear. Here's what he's doing. He's honest about his fear. Stuffing a problem and saying it's not there is denial. It's not helpful, and in some way, in some other form, it's going to manifest in the form of addictions. It's going to manifest in the form of anger, secondary emotions that are going to be super unhelpful if you don't actually understand that if you're feeling fear coming at you, it is totally normal. You have permission to tell God, to God, God, I am afraid. There's a difference between feeling with fear and partnering with fear. He was honest about what he was feeling, and he was equally honest about his next intention, and he went straight to the Lord. At that moment, he refined his focus. Notice he didn't go and say, oh no, I got to call up everybody and complain about what's not happening. No, what he did is he refined his focus. He brought everyone together and said, this is our focus right now. I'm turning off CNN. I'm turning off Fox News. I'm not listening to these reports. I've been informed that there's something coming at me. I've been informed enough. This army's coming at me. But I'm at a place now where I can't afford a thought in my head about me or our country or my family. I can't afford a thought in my head about any of this that isn't in his head about this. And if it's not in his head to fear, I can't partner with fear. So I'm going to refine my focus. I'm going to fast from a negativity. I'm going to go on a negativity fast. Hey, there's a novel idea. Let's go on a 40-day negativity fast as we refine our focus. It doesn't mean that we don't get intel about what the enemy's doing. It just means that what the enemy's doing isn't our focus. Can I get a witness online from the congregation? Moving on. Somebody say reset. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 5. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and he said, O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in the heavens? And are you not ruler over all the kingdoms of the nations? Power and might are in your hands so that no one can stand against you. Did you not, O our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? They've lived in it. They built you a sanctuary here, your name, saying, should evil come upon us, the sword or judgment or pestilence or coronavirus or famine, economic shutdown? Will we stand before this and before you, for your name is in this house, and cry to you in our distress, and you will hear and deliver us. Say it with me, everyone. You will hear and deliver us. I'm going to point to every person watching this right now. I'm going to point right into this camera in unison like a choir. Lord, you will hear and deliver us. One more time over here. I'm walking a little fast. You will hear and deliver us. That's plan A. That's plan B. That's plan C. We're going to refine our focus, and God will heal our land. Amen. Now, I could end the sermon right there, but there's some things that we need to do. See, God does things in us and through us, but he won't do everything for us. Sometimes we have to partner with what he's doing, and then he does the rest. That's part of this story I want you to see as we refine our focus. Notice the headlines still remained. Jehoshaphat still faces the threat. The headlines are still dominating. But something is shifting in the atmosphere. Something is changing. You can feel the faith. Now, I want you to understand, Jehoshaphat is building on a wealth of faith that he has built over time in developing a history with God. He is reminding God through that scripture, God, you delivered us here, you did this, you promised us that. Instead of blame shifting and asking why this and why that and blaming these people and the lack of faith with these Christians and these churches aren't doing enough and blah, 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 blah. No. We're going to refine our focus. We're not blame shifting anything. Here's what we're going to do. All right, team, this is the plan. We're going to dominate our speech, every technological challenge we face in this hour, every economic, we're going to shift it. We're going to refine our focus. We're going to talk about what God is doing. Period. And every challenge we face, we're going to submit it to him. We're not going to blame shift. We're not going to criticize. We're going to work through challenges. We're going to call obstacles opportunities. And ladies and gentlemen, God is going to bring us the victory. That is our reset. That is our default. That is what this generation will be not known for coronavirus. This generation will be known for the unity that was cultivated and birthed out of a people of God standing on the promises of God in the midst of this great, vast army that's coming against them. This is what the reality that they faced. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 10 says, "Behold, the sons of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you did not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, they turned aside from them and did not destroy them. See how they're rewarding us by coming to drive us out from your possession, which you gave as an inheritance. God, will you not judge them? We are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you." And all Judah was standing before the Lord with their infants, their wives, and their children, watching in quarantine, Elevation Church, online. Women, children, mothers and fathers watching online, refining their focus, standing and waiting to see what God is going to do next. The women, the men, and the children gathered together around confident expectation that God was up to something when they couldn't see it or feel it yet. By the way, an infomercial for our eKids ministry. It's a great time to tell you that our team is cultivating our youth, Emerge Ministries. We're cultivating ideas in this hour to do exactly what I just read, refining our focus, bringing us all together so that we can talk about the exploits of God. This week, we have online materials already, and our teams, Pastor Lana, Pastor Hope, are working to connect with youth and our kids, and I want to encourage you to be a part of that and to tap into that and make it a focal point to refine your focus as a family. Maybe even talk to each other about this message. What was he saying? What part did he understand or not understand? Ask little Johnny or little Susie, did that make sense to you? And if it doesn't, talk about it. Refine our focus. All of Judah was pressed in to what God was doing. We need to do likewise. Moving on to verse 14. "Then in the midst of the assembly, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, the Levite of the sons of Asaph. And he said, 'Listen, all Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. Well, wait a minute, God. You just said the battle's yours, not ours. And then you say, tomorrow, go against them. Well, which one is it? Here's what it is. We prepare the horses for the day of battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord. Sometimes God asks us to do things that have absolutely nothing to do in the natural with achieving the victory. Hey, Peter, go get a sword. All right, Jesus, I'm going to go get a sword. They go get a sword. It's our time to take the promised land. And then, in the hour that Jesus was arrested, Peter, put away your sword. What are you doing? Sometimes God asks us to pick up things simply out of obedience. But the real victory was what the victory was bought at Calvary. Peter had no idea what God was really up to in that hour, but he still obeyed his very next step. And even when he missed it by misappropriating a weapon, God had a redemptive way of restoring him and bringing him into a place of greatness. Because Peter was instrumental in the development of the early church, and he mopped up the spoils of victory that Jesus purchased for us at Calvary. Can I get a witness? I'm getting happy. I can see, honestly, all of your faces. I was telling our team this. When I'm up here in an empty empty church here, I can literally feel you guys cheering me on. I can actually visually see that in my mind's eye. So keep it up. It says, tomorrow go down against them. God wants us to do our part. He does his part. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the valley in front of the wilderness of Jeruel. You need not fight in this battle. Station yourselves, stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, Jerusalem and Judah. Do not fear or be dismayed. Don't be discouraged. But I'm afraid, right? 365 times in the Bible it says, do not fear. But I feel afraid. That's okay. But I feel discouraged. It's okay. Just don't be. Well, which one is it? How do I do that? Watch what happens next. Go out to face them, for the Lord is with you. See, before we conquer the external enemies coming at us and the battles coming at us, sometimes God wants to beat and win the battle within me before he wins the battle for me. Sometimes he wants to win the battle within me before he wants to win the battle for me. Sometimes God wants to win the battle through me. And sometimes he says, son, out of identity, sit down and watch me work my wonders. Which one is it? Oftentimes, I don't know. Sometimes when I'm running around frantically trying to make it happen, how many of you online in this hour have been frantically trying to make things happen? And here we are in quarantine, and what can we not do? Make it happen. We're sitting at home. But instead of being a victim and saying what we can't do, let's refine our focus and reset our thinking and say, this is what God can do. This is how I fight my battles. I may be surrounded, but I'm on my knees doing what Jehoshaphat is about to share that he did. It says in Psalm 23:5, it says, the Lord prepares a table before me in the presence of our enemies. We think people are the enemies. Wrong. The people are not our enemies. Politicians are not our enemies. People on the other side, people who look and sound different, are not our enemies. The enemies are fear, anxiety, discouragement, disillusionment, pride, insecurity, addiction, compulsion, loss. All of these things and many, many more. 1,000 forms of fear. That is the enemy. And so here's what God says. I'm going to prepare a feast for you in the presence of your enemy. And instead of obsessing over every devil under every corner, over every part of your house, living in fear, casting out devils and rebuking till your rebuker is wore out, what God is saying to us right now is feast while you fight. Feast while you fight. And the way you fight is to get into a posture of rest. So here's what I want you to do, Ryan. Instead of doing Christian kung fu, trying to chop at this and chop at that, I want you to start feasting on what I say. I want you to feast on the promises. I want you to remind me of the promises, just like Jehoshaphat, of what he said over us. So when I'm in a crisis, instead of partnering with what CNN is going to happen to me, I'm going to read Ephesians over and over and over, and says who I am in Christ and that I have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. And if I come in heavy in prayer, I'm leaving light. I don't move. I refine my focus and I look at that scripture and I say, I am blessed in every spiritual blessing, and I'm not moving until I believe it. And then my attitude shifts, and now God has beat the enemy within me. So now I can stand before the presence of my enemies, and I've got power working on inside of me to come at the problem that's coming at me. This is an important part of our assignment right now, is feasting on what God's word says. Feasting on the promises, because I've got prophetic words out to hear about what God wants to do in our city. I refuse to forfeit that, but I need to posture my heart to make sure that I'm in compliance of what God is doing. See, sometimes God will win a battle for me, and sometimes God will win a battle through me. There's a time to take authority. There's a time to take authority and say, hey, this will not stand. And as a church, we need to do that. And there are times out of our identity, we rest and say, God, you've got this. I've done everything I know to do. Now I rest. Well, which one is it? You only know when you go. And I do that by moving in a position of worship, which is what Jehoshaphat shows us right here. He learns how to feast in a fight. Verse 18, Jehoshaphat bows his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. The Levites from the son of the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a very loud voice. They rose early in the morning. They went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. They went out, and Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen, Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem, put your trust in the Lord your God and you will be established. Meaning, you will be nursed, you will be nourished, you will be carried. That's what that word means, established. You're going to be carried, nourished, and nursed. Put your trust in his prophets and succeed. When he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who sang to the Lord, who praised him in holy attire, went out before the army and said, give thanks to the Lord for his kindness, his loving kindness is everlasting. So their posture is worship and thanksgiving before the battle even starts. Now, in our minds, we like to give thanks after we win the Super Bowl. How many people are in the Super Bowl who are in the loser's locker room giving thanks? But the kingdom is an upside-down kingdom. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God and the pulling downs of strongholds. Sometimes when I feel fear the most is when I have to do what's contrary to that fear. I stand and face that fear and watch the wonders of God work on my behalf. Sometimes in a place where I want to hoard, God says so. Sometimes when I want to crawl up in my house and hide, God says go. Sometimes when I want to do what my flesh wants to do, God will say do the opposite. I believe God's speaking to somebody right now. I believe, I'm not saying that you aren't wise. I'm not saying that you don't consider all of your circumstances. But I know this, God is bigger than any external threat you may face. And when he's backing your play, all hell breaks loose because heaven comes crashing in. This is what we see right here. He says, they began singing, verse 22, and praising the Lord, set ambushes against the son of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir who'd come against Judah, and they were routed. See, there's something that our enemy is jealous of, and that's our worship. A lot of gods that people talk about worshiping. I don't even waste my breath talking about all of these other things that our nation, I've seen people say this in the headlines. I'm not going to partner with, well, we're worshiping all these other gods. We might have, we might not. But I'm not going to waste my time in this hour focusing on all of the things we've done wrong. Here's what I want to do. I want to refine my focus. I want to call forth the assembly, and I want to magnify God. I don't want to spend all my time saying nonsensical things like this is the judgment of God on his people. Are you kidding me? Because I read the Bible, and it says the finished work, Jesus dealt a blow to all accusation and judgment at the cross, and we stand freely justified. Let that sink in. I don't have time to get into the theology behind that, but I need you to know that you're completely justified. We don't need to spend time crucifying others in the name of righteousness. What we need to be doing is feasting while we're fighting, standing on the promises and unifying God's people to win this great rally, no matter what denomination or creed you stand on. If we are in Christ, we are all new creations, and we need to utilize the weapons of our warfare, which are not carnal, but mighty through God in the pulling down of strongholds. You want to win this war, people? Here's what we do. We get down on our knees, we worship God, we sing songs like The Blessing from Carrie Job, and we say to 1,000 generations, you're blessed. We begin to use the promises of God, just like Jehoshaphat, and we tell him very, very clearly that this battle is the Lord's, and it's our inheritance. That's what we do. That's our posture. That's where we're headed. Don't waste time in trivial debates about why we're here. Stand on the promises of God and say the place of our greatest battle is now the place of our greatest blessing. Can I get a witness from the congregation? I'm about to close. I'm about to close. I'm thinking about closing. For the sons of Ammon and Moab rose up against the Mount Seir, destroying them completely. And when they had finished, they destroyed one another. I love that. The enemy eating each other up. Totally thrown into confusion because the Lord set ambushes. God sees things in this hour you and I can't see. He sees things happening behind the scenes. If I can't be a part of the solution, I don't need to waste all my time talking about the problem, this and that. Look, if it is devastating your soul by feeding on trash, throw the trash away. Don't throw people away. Just throw the trash away. Throw it away. Because you can't afford a thought in your head about you or other people or God that isn't in his head about you or other people or God. When Judah came to the lookout of the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and behold, there were corpses lying on the ground. No one escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take their spoil, they found much among them, including goods, garments, and valuable things, which they took for themselves, more than they could carry. And they were 3 days taking the spoil because there was so much there. Wow. Isaiah 30:32 has this great line. And basically it says this. When we worship and we play the tambourine, God beats the enemy back with a stick. I'm so bored. I don't know what to do in quarantine. Here's your reset. Worship, start giving thanks, praising God for the victory and the promises that he's... If you're bored, just go through the Word. Start reading the Word. Get in there till it reads you, as Pastor Aaron said a couple of days ago online. Start feeding on that, and when you feed your faith, you starve your fear. The more you starve your fear, you get into position to hear God clear. When you hear God clear, you step into a place... The kingdom realm, where the impossible becomes logical and normal. And we see the goodness of God. We see the goodness of God in this portion of Scripture. What would it be like on the other side of this? We have been in lockdown mode. Our people have been in lockdown mode. I'm already hearing of creative ways and innovations that are coming out of this. We're learning things about how to do life, and that humanity out of this is going to be, this is what I'm prophesying, we're going to come out better and stronger. And that's not empty rhetoric. If you study the course of human history, our greatest challenges become our greatest opportunities, and new things come onto the horizon, and humanity wins because God is for us. Let me say this really, really clear. God is for us. He is an innovator. He is full of wisdom. He is a creator, and he's revealing things to the sons of God, to the daughters of God. Like Romans 8 said, all of creation is groaning and longing for us, meaning the sons and daughters of the Most High God. All of creation is groaning for us to get it. To get what? That we're made in his image, and we have the ability to create and innovate, name and go after things that has never been in existence before. We see it with products and innovation and tech all the time. Let me be very clear. When we get on our knees and refine our focus, some of you are going to get ideas that instead of partnering with the threat of a lost job, start thinking creatively and watch God work his wonders as he pops innovation into your mind. The battle is the Lord's. I'm going to call Pastor Aaron up here in just a second to receive communion as we close. I just want to say in closing this scripture, Psalm 37, verse 3 says this, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Do what you can. Take this time, instead of meditating on what you can't do, trust in the Lord and do good. Think about what you can do, instead of using the word, I'm limited. Reframe and reset your thinking and say, I'm expectant. Trust in the Lord, do good, dwell in the land, feed, there's that word, feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. We are moving in opposite of what the economy and this virus is telling us. We're not denying its existence. What we're denying it is a place of influence, and that's called faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. Doubt and fear are not the enemy of faith. Sight is. We can't be impressed with what we see and what we need to be impressed with what he says and what we hear and what he sees. And when we capture what he sees, it changes our reality. I'm going to pray over you and then bring Pastor Aaron in. Father, there are people online right now who need a divine reset. They need a reboot. There have been viruses and ites that have affected their worship. There may have been idols and things that may crop up in their mind right now that they're feeling guilt or remorse, maybe even shame, condemnation. I just partner with them right now online. They don't have to partner with that condemnation. If it comes up and it's something that you feel you have partnered with, know that Jesus is bigger than all of that. He's already forgiven it before you say, I'm sorry. And he is already moving and working on your upgrade in your software system, in your internal operating system. And the greatest threat isn't coronavirus. Our greatest threat is bad thinking. And the more we begin to partner and think the way you think, the happier, more joy-filled, more peace-filled we will become. So I speak peace over each of our people who are watching online. And I thank you, God, that out of this time will come the greatest harvest of souls, tech, innovation, and societal good to hit our nation, our state, our world, and our city. We will come out stronger and more unified, and we will divvy up the spoils, because the goodness of God is never on trial. It's the heart of God to confer blessing, and we are coming into alignment with what you're doing. We say the battle is the Lord's. We do our part, and you do yours. As I close and pass the baton to Pastor Aaron, I want to just look in this camera and say to you real clearly, if you don't know Jesus, if you don't know him personally, in fact, I know some of you have heard this invitation before. Come to Jesus and make him Lord and Savior. And maybe some of you have heard this message, come to Jesus and all your problems will go away. I'm going to tell you, after nearly 20 years of walking with God, not all my problems go away. But instead of looking at my problems as the problem, I'm learning, this is what I'm learning after 20 years of walking with God faithfully and watching him move in power and love in incredible ways. Here's a promise I will make to you. Every obstacle is an opportunity to grow in your upgrade in him, and it only gets better. Your external realities do not have permission to affect your internal realities. And so here's my promise. You will have the peace of God all over you, and you will calm storms when you didn't think it was possible, because you're made in the image of your heavenly Father. He will give you power to overcome that. That's the Jesus I promised to you. You will do incredible signs, wonders, and miracles when you submit to his lordship and his love. I pray that you don't no longer worry about falling out of grace. Fall into grace, and you can receive him online. We have pastors online. We have email addresses. We have our address. If you want to be found, we will find you. We will minister to you. Even though we're in quarantine, you can't stop us. You can only hope to contain us. We will help you. We love you. Pastor Aaron, would you come up and celebrate communion? Love you. God bless you. We'll see you next week.
What a great word, huh? There's so much hope in this season and so much for us to be thankful for. Amen? You could just type amen online if you want to. We'll see it, I promise. We're continuing this new normal by covenanting to take communion together. And I really had the feeling that this morning communion should be something that we're really intentional and interactive about. So as you take the bread, Jesus said, "This is my body that's broken for you." We here at Elevation, we believe that there's healing in the atonement, and I believe there's a supernatural release that comes from receiving communion. So what I want you to do today is either in thankfulness or in expectancy, think about a time that God healed you or that you saw God move in a wild miracle of healing. Or if you're in a place right now where you need that miracle, I want you to meditate on the ways that God could meet that need. Like, get your hope up. Get your hope up. And I just declare in Jesus' name that there would actually be a healing that's either started or miraculously completed this morning as we receive communion together. So take a second and just get that thing bubbled up in your soul and in your spirit. Either the testimony of a miracle that you've seen God do, or the need that you have that you're looking for him to meet as we press into the truth that there really is healing in the atonement. Because Jesus said, "This is my body that's broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Now, as we share the cup this morning, I really had God impress it on me that this is a drink that we're sharing together to hope. And that the new covenant, what it does in a very profound way is in pulling back the veil, it lets us get really profoundly hopeful. Like, in other words, it lets us go to a place where hope becomes the lead story, where the goodness of God is so made manifest that despair and darkness don't get to have the foothold that they once had. That it's about the remission of sins, but it's about more than the remission of sins. It's about a new covenant that looks so much better than the old covenant, that contains a glory that's so much greater. We can't even call the old things glory anymore. We have to find a new name for them. That's how much better the thing that we get to walk in is. So would you raise your glass with me this morning? And again, just get that thing bubbled up in your heart and your soul, the thing that you're hopeful for as we press forward. Cheers to a new covenant in his blood. Again, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We're so honored that you would choose to be a part of our family digitally. It's so great to be able to do this together. And keep an eye on Facebook, YouTube, our website, our social media. We're making it a point in a profound sort of a way to try to stay connected. Our call has been to raise up and equip saints and to bring improvement, transformation, all these things to people's lives. And that hasn't changed just because we can't meet in person. So our digital presence is expanding because we realize that there's such a profound need for community, for your mental health, for your spiritual health, that we want to be a bastion of those things. So thank you so much for joining us. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to end our broadcast. So, King Jesus, thank you so much that the challenges and that the situations that we find ourselves in do not challenge your identity, your nature, your goodness, God. Thank you that we can gather like this, God. Thank you that your kingdom advances sometimes publicly and in fire and awe and glory and show, and sometimes in the background as you cultivate things deep inside of your people. And God, we thank you that we can experience both those things at the same time. So we bless you, Jesus. We lift your name high. And I just declare that in your name, every person that's watching, whether they're watching live or they're watching a rebroadcast later, would have your Holy Spirit manifest tangibly on their body and in their home or in whatever place they're watching, God. If they're on a phone, may revival break out on the train or on the bus or in the car, God. We thank you that you're good and that you chase your people down with your goodness. So it's in your name we cry out and we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you guys digitally this week. Have a phenomenal Sunday. Bye now.